Okay, and so to travel now, and joining me now is our travel expert, Claire Coleman. Good morning, Claire.
Good morning.
We spoke a month or so ago about sort of things, travel corridors opening up, and of course, the winding down of some of the things to do with COVID. And some of these bits have been replaced by another sort of, well, tragedy is the only way you can describe it, really, happening in Eastern Europe. More of that in a moment. But have any of the regulations changed any further since we last spoke?
Yeah, some are becoming more relaxed. I mean, there's still talk that we may not have to fill out one of these passenger locator forms coming back to the UK. It still stands at the moment. Anybody travelling, you do have to fill out this passenger locator form. That's to get back into the UK. And you complete that, I think it's 48 hours before you fly.
Yeah.
There was some mumblings that that might be scrapped, but is still relevant at the moment. And yeah, it's different countries. We hear different things starting to sort of maybe scrap the need to do a test on arrival. And yeah, it's just, there's so many countries. It's just trying to sort of keep up to date with it all. So
it's a bit of a minefield.
Yeah, I just tend to sort of work on, not on a need to know basis. Well, yeah, I suppose it is a need to know basis. So if I've got a client that comes to me and says we want to go to Egypt,
yeah,
then I'll look at what the entry requirements are and then say, right, you need to have X, Y, and Z. It depends if you're fully vaccinated or not vaccinated or not fully vaccinated. It's still all a bit, it does completely depend. I think the easiest is if you're all fully vaccinated, and that doesn't necessarily mean with boosters. A lot of countries are recognising fully vaccinated as two vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you've had two or three, it's getting easier by the week, and countries are starting to lessen what you need.
Yeah, this
is good.
Yeah, it's winding down for the while, and nobody seems to know whether it's going to return and haunt us again in the autumn or what. But you were talking about passenger locators, and we discussed this one last month. But is this a bit like the old form you used to fill in on the aeroplane before you landed, and the air stewardess used to come and collect them?
That's a blast from the past.
It is, isn't it? Yeah, I'm that old. You see, I remember.
Well, yeah, I remember that. Well, in some places you still have to. They're kind of like the immigration forms, and they
yes.
do come round and present them to you on the aircraft.
Yes.
I guess it's similar to that, but you do have to fill it out 48 hours prior to departure. So it's, I think it's just what's on there, I believe, because I've not actually done one myself, but I believe what's on there, it's kind of telling, it's asked what date you fly in, where you've been, where you're going to, I think your address, I think you have to put your passport details on there, and it then just asks you to say when your vaccines were. So they know that you're coming back into the country fully vaccinated and abiding by the rules of fully vaccinated passengers, as opposed to not being fully vaccinated.
So there you are, sitting by the pool 2 days before you come home, sipping a mojito, filling out one of these forms. Would that be about right?
That's about right. And then moaning because the Wi-Fi keeps dropping out, because let's face it, it's never that great abroad, is it?
It's an online form. It's an online form. It's not a bit of paper.
Yeah, it's an online, but I think you can fill it out online, and I think you can also print it. So if you're in a hotel and you've got access and you can email it to maybe hotel's reception, they can sometimes print it out for you as well. I think
right.
It's just better to have everything in print format and digitally. I can never say that word.
Yeah. And of course, masks are still the done thing on planes, I presume, or has that been lifted as well now?
Oh, gosh, do you know what? I'm sure I read something the other day that Jet2, and it didn't really mean anything to me because Jet2 is more sort of northern based and they do fly out of Stansted.
Yeah.
But I thought I read that they might be scrapping masks. But don't quote me on that, because like I say, it's not one that I'm so au fait with because they don't fly out of Gatwick. But I thought I'd read something somewhere that they might be in talks to stop the masks.
Yeah, because there are many, many people at the moment who are not really comfortable still with the way things are, and still like to wear a mask, still use the hand sanitizer and all that stuff. So just because people aren't wearing a mask on a plane doesn't mean to say you can't or you shouldn't.
No, and funny enough, I've just looked and it does say actually their policy, it's no longer a legal requirement to wear a mask at our airports or on board our planes. However, as per UK government guidance, we still recommend that you do. So it's not now a legal requirement, as is, well, it isn't anywhere in anymore, is it? You don't have to wear a mask if you go. So they're obviously saying that if you want to wear a mask, you can, but it's no longer a legal requirement.
Okay, well, that's that. That's that bit solved. And there we were thinking, coming out of this, the world was going to open up again. And of course, well, with COVID subsiding and with the world learning to deal with the effects of COVID, and we're all, of course, getting inoculated to make sure that travel can restart properly. As one thing, one crisis disappears, another has reopened. Certainly for a certain part of the world, the tragedy that is what's happening in Ukraine at the moment has meant that travel to Eastern Europe, certainly Russia, is not allowed, but other parts of Eastern Europe and some of the Baltic states, it's not banned, but it's a little uneasy, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I've certainly read reports that sort of a lot of sort of cruises around that sort of area have all pulled their itineraries. They're not doing it, or they've cancelled the ships. Because, of course, St. Petersburg is quite a major attraction, and a lot of tours will start in St. Petersburg. And obviously you can't go there at the moment. So, yeah, anything sort of bordering sort of around the Russia and Ukraine, it's probably not advisable at this point.
Years ago I went to Estonia, and wonderful experience. I mean, it was like stepping back in time, you know, a few decades, because they were part of the Soviet Union, not that time, but they had been part of the Soviet Union. And of course, they're actually very close to Russia. And of course, now a seriously popular tourist destination. Is there any advice from the Home Office for places that perhaps we shouldn't be looking at the moment?
For Tallinn in particular, you mentioned, yeah, obviously Estonia. I don't know what the FCO are actually saying. Probably advising against anything but essential travel, I would have thought. Let's just have a quick look and see if we can get something.
This is what
here.
We like. So, yeah, information. Well, information
at your fingertips. Here we go.
Information at the fingertips. There you go.
Well, it's funny. It's not really saying. It's literally just saying all travellers entering Estonia from the UK are required to complete a traveller's questionnaire prior to their arrival in Estonia. So there's not actually anything about not going. Yeah. This is just the entry requirements. Yeah. I mean, the summary of it at the moment is just, it does. It all seems to still be very much coronavirus and COVID updates. So it's certainly not saying that you can't fly there at the moment.
Yeah. Well, that in itself is fairly encouraging. It is fairly encouraging news for anybody that's booked to go to that part of the world at the moment. And I would guess at the moment, certainly it's reasonably safe to do so. But of course, it's a case of watch this space, because no one knows quite where this is going, do they?
No. No, and this is enough. I mean, I suppose those sort of areas, I don't want to say they're not sort of tourist hotspots, because a lot of those Baltic states and sort of Tallinn and Riga and all those sort of areas, they're very much city breaks.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe not so popular as your sort of Greek islands and your Spanish islands and things like that. So popular, but a different kind of popular. So
it's pretty cold out there at the moment, I would think, too.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's move on, because it's tragic what's going on there, and it's a conversation that can be had, on many different levels. But there's another part of the world that is continuing on. You're currently getting back into the stride of making sure people get their summer holidays this year. Top three destinations at the moment?
Oh, gosh, what have I been asked for? Well, I'm doing a lot of people still wanting to get to Florida.
Yeah.
I think they've had 3 years of 2 years of trying and failing. So still sort of the demand for Florida is still there.
Mickey will be pleased to see them.
Yeah, exactly. And also lots of inquiries for sort of Greece and Cyprus and Croatia. I seem to be getting lots of inquiries for Croatia as well. And that's gone up in price. That always used to be a really reasonable holiday destination, but the prices over the last few years just seem to have rocketed in Croatia, and I'm not really sure why.
Yeah.
So now, the other thing, supply and demand, maybe.
The other thing, to you just pointed me in the direction of when you mentioned about prices going up, of course, because, again, of what's happening in Ukraine and Russia. The price of oil is going through the roof at the moment. Are we likely to see surcharges on our flight tickets for fuel?
Funny you should say that, because we got something through the other day, actually, from our duty office that was saying about Emirates could be. I would imagine that anything that's ticketed, so if you've got flights that are ticketed, they can't really charge you for extra fuel increases. But sometimes if you've hailed a flight off and it's at a deposit where you can do that, if an airline is going to, they would normally say as of whatever date, the fuel increase will be X amount. So you can either pay in full now and guarantee the fare that you were quoted, or you take the chance of the fuel increase. You take the risk and you'll pay extra for the fuel increase. So, yeah, I reckon that is going to be something that's going to happen regularly, unfortunately, especially with the price of petrol as it stands at the moment.
No, that was the whole point of it, really. Hopefully, the spike that we're seeing is only temporary, and that things will sort themselves out with that one. So we're talking Florida, Greece. We're talking Cyprus as the top venues, and of course they're pretty much all year round venues, aren't they, these days?
Greece isn't. No, Greece is mainly just summer. You'll find Greek islands, with the odd exception of sort of Crete and Rhodes, because they're quite far south. You can still get decent-ish weather in Crete and Rhodes. But yeah, all the other Greek islands are generally sort of 1st of May through to the end of October. That's their season. You'll find come sort of November onwards, the only way you'll get into these islands is via Athens. You'll have to fly into Athens and then onward with another flight. You've got none of the direct charters going in the winter months.
All right, okay. So, Florida obviously is pretty much all year round. Hopefully they're sorting themselves out, because I know Florida was fairly badly affected by COVID, and I'm presuming that the situation there is improving as it is here.
Yeah, it seems to be absolutely fine. Every day that passes is... things in Disney seem to be getting less and less restrictive. So, it's all looking pretty good. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, that is good. What about places like Italy? And the reason I mentioned that is I saw fairly recently on TV Stanley Tucci travelling Italy, sampling the food in various different places. And he showed he was in Sicily and he was in various other places right the way through the country, varying styles of food. I mean, do you get many people actually... booking for culinary reasons to go on culinary trips to these places?
I haven't had any, no. But funny enough, this is very weird. I don't know if there's some telepathy going on here between you and I. I was actually looking, we've got a really good tour operator that we use, and I was on their site yesterday, and funny enough, there was actually culinary tours around Italy. So you could learn how to make the perfect pasta, and you could learn how to make the perfect pizza. And I was just like, oh my
That's
God,
the these stuff.
They do exist, and they look fantastic. So I reckon you'd need to diet before you go and diet when you come back. But yeah, no, there are tours like that. I mean, I've never actually booked any.
Yeah.
But I have got people going to Italy. Funny enough, I've got people going to Sicily in May, and I've got some young girls going off touring all round Italy actually in the summer.
Hmm.
So yeah.
I'm going to say, if you do like food, and that, there's a wonderful series, to say, on TV, Stanley Tucci, he was travelling Italy and sampling all of the food. He's just one of those wondrous things that makes foreign travel so pleasing, I think, really, is the thing. And so we know where the popular places are. Where before we finish, one or two places that probably used to be quite popular, but because of what's happened COVID-wise, have drifted downwards a bit. Have you lost, you know, sort of bookings over any of these places at all? Where would you have lost bookings from at the moment? Or where would not be a place to go?
Well, I don't know. Egypt's always been one of those destinations that Egypt and Turkey have always been the two sort of destinations, and I don't know why, that when, you know, if someone says to me, oh, we don't mind where we go, I will always say, is there anywhere you don't want to go? And Egypt and Turkey always seems to be the ones that come up. I don't know in the past because Turkey is closeness to Syria, or whether Egypt, because obviously there was the plane, the attack on the aircraft, wasn't it? But Egypt and Turkey always seem to be a lot of the destinations that people don't want to go to. Which, you know, I've never really understood.
They're safe, are they, at the moment? Or are they sort of fairly racked with COVID?
No. I mean, with Turkey, it's not really the season yet. We're sort of winter season still over there. So Turkey won't really start opening again till sort of May time, when the charters will start going in. But Turkey just brings so much value because, A, it's still Turkish lira. So that's it does, and it you get really good sort of standards over there for decent prices. But it's just those two places always seem to be the kind of areas where a lot of people say, oh, no, I don't fancy that. Can never really say why they don't fancy it, but just don't fancy it. So
maybe,
yeah, it's weird.
Maybe that's a topic of conversation for next month, because certainly the food in Istanbul is to be reckoned with, you know, in some of the markets and that. But they've been fairly troubled areas. Maybe it's worth a little look at some of those places in a month's time as to whether, you know, it might be time to go and return. For now, though, Claire, we've run out of time. Time goes so quickly.
It does.
Claire Coleman, for now, thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.